From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. And we are 1 week away from Thanksgiving. For a lot of people, that means conversations with family about politics are on the horizon, especially now that former President Donald Trump has announced his candidacy for president in 2024. We heard from many of you about that in our texting group yesterday morning. For example, Jane in Pawnee says she usually votes Republican, but going back to 2016, she could not support Trump. She said, "The recent election results led me to feel as though I were a member of the Whig Party in 1856 or perhaps 1860. Adherents of the former president seem convinced that they must stick with him. Meanwhile, other Republicans struggle to present a counterpoint to the prevailing progressive liberal democratic agenda." Jane goes on to say, "Though my political outlook remains skeptical and gloomy, consider me still to be a prisoner of hope." Hope. That's an emotion that seems to be in short supply these days. We've talked before on our program about the partisan divide in politics. Not just that people disagree with the policies of those on the other side of issues, but people seem to think their political opponents are actually going to permanently harm our country. But there are groups out there trying to build bridges across that partisan divide, fostering a greater sense of understanding across American politics. Which brings us to the next installment in our ongoing series, Building a Better Democracy. The nonprofit Braver Angels was born of the 2016 presidential election. It started out as Better Angels, taking after Abraham Lincoln, calling on the better angels of our nature. Today, Braver Angels conducts workshops, hosts podcasts, and sponsors local speakers. Some of that work is happening right here in Illinois, and we're joined now by the Illinois State Coordinators for Braver Angels. Matt Hausman is in our studio in Urbana, while Chuck Stone joins us remotely via Zoom. Matt, Chuck, welcome to the 21st Show.
Thanks for having us. Thank you very much, Brian.
Yeah.
And listeners, we want to invite you to join our conversation as ever at 800-222-9455. What do you think about the polarization in our country? Do you see this as a problem needing to be solved? Or maybe you're in the camp who thinks it's a good thing that the other side needs to be convinced how right you are. 800-222-9455. And as we go along, if you have a question about the work of Braver Angels, join the conversation. Again, 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. Or tweet us at 21st Show. So, Matt, I'm going to begin with you. How did you get involved with Braver Angels?
So, Braver Angels, like you said, it was formed in the aftermath of the 2016 election. And I remember reading a news story about what they did, which was a workshop in Ohio. Put on by someone we'll talk about more later on in the show, but Brian Doherty, who is a marriage and family counselor, bringing in Hillary supporters and Trump supporters to have a mutual respectful conversation. And I read about that and was very interested. And then in the run-up to the 2020 election, I saw something else again, and I started to participate in a couple of the workshops and just continued to get involved with that. We actually have a local alliance here in Champaign-Urbana that I'm one of the founding members. And then after my own political run, Chuck reached out to me and asked if I'd like to join him as a state co-coordinator.
Well, Chuck, that's a good segue. Same question to you. How did you get involved with Braver Angels?
I actually was looking for something like this for many years. I think the first time I was really alarmed was the Clarence Thomas confirmation hearings with Anita Hill. And that was back like in 1990 or 91 or something. And I saw polarization really becoming destructive. So I was kind of surprised that no big group had formed to kind of confront this problem that was kind of coming at us right down Main Street. And then I saw David Blankenhorn, who along with Bill Doherty is one of the founders of Braver Angels or Better Angels at the time. I saw him on the Fareed Zakaria show. I checked into it and I had checked into a couple of other groups and wasn't interested, but I saw this as being a direct way of confronting that polarization and having an effect. So that's why I joined.
Well, you're invoking Clarence Thomas is interesting because, I mean, I mentioned that this organization comes out of the 2016 election, but the polarization we're seeing in American society goes back a lot further than that. Matt, can you talk about that history?
Yeah, so you look at it that back in Clarence Thomas, you look at the old stories about Tip O'Neill and Ronald Reagan, that they would have the "it's after five" rule, that they would go at each other during the day, but then they would have drinks together at the end of the day. And we've lost that over time, and you saw that start to pull apart. I was looking at some statistics. Back in the 90s, around that time, only about 25% of Republicans and Democrats had very negative views of the other party. But around the time Braver Angels formed in 2016, that had jumped up to almost 90% of Republicans and Democrats having very negative views of the other party.
You know, Matt, you had you sort of alluded, and I haven't explained it yet to some of our listeners, to your own political candidacy. For those who don't know, you were ran in the Republican primary for the 13th congressional district this year, which that primary was eventually won by Regan Deering, and then the general election campaign was just won by Nikki Budzinski, the Democrat. And it stands out to me, and it probably will for a long time, because I have a standard question I've been asking of Republican candidates and office holders about who won the 2020 presidential election and was it free and fair. And you are one of the very small number of people who just answered that pretty unambiguously, Joe Biden, and yes, it was free and fair. I wonder what your experience is out there in terms of, you know, polarization, trying to run in a Republican primary out of step with something that is a huge animating issue in that party right now.
Yeah, so it was definitely an interesting experience, to say the least. And actually, Braver Angels was one of the reasons I decided to run. We have a subgroup under Braver Angels called Braver Politics that started to get formed last year. And somebody mentioned during that she had considered a run for local office, but couldn't put her family through it because politics had become so divisive. And I was already toying around after talking to a few people about this run. And that was kind of the straw, so to speak, that, okay, I'm single. I don't have a family. I can take these arrows and slings. And so decided to do that. And I got in late to the race, mostly because I was waiting to see. But as you said, Brian, that there wasn't that message out there and that was running for office calling for bipartisanship. With relation to the election itself, that has been an issue of discussion within the Braver Angels organization, that there are people who have questions about the 2020 election who are part of Braver Angels. And we try to be respectful of that dialogue, even though as a Republican, I do know I'm in a minority view about that. And it was something I had to deal with. But the issue was, and what I did find on the campaign trail, is I had strong Trump supporters who supported me, as well as independents and Democrats, mostly just because of that I was willing to listen and willing to give respect to the different sides. Even if we didn't agree, we can do it respectfully and with civility. And I think that's the core of what Braver Angels is trying to put out there.
Let me remind listeners, this is the 21st show. I'm Brian Mackey. We're speaking about an organization called Braver Angels, which aims to bridge political divides in our country. It was founded out of the 2016 election. And we're talking with the Illinois state coordinators of that organization, Matt Hausman and Chuck Stone. And Chuck, talk a little bit about how this polarization affects our democracy, small d democracy here in America.
Well, it's making our government dysfunctional. It's leading to threats of violence and actual violence happening, political violence, and it's making everyone doubt our institutions. And that's the scariest thing is, you know, the kind of the idea, whether it's they cheated, so it's okay for us to cheat, or something is illegitimate and therefore the ordinary rules don't apply. We don't have to kind of live up to the rules. And the view of people on the other side as stereotypes and as people who are not worthy of trust, are unlikable, are immoral. And it's all based on a kind of false perception of the average person on the other side. So we can't really have a democracy where we don't trust our institutions and where we don't trust each other. You know, a union that doesn't trust half of the union doesn't trust itself. So that's what we're trying to change. And it is mostly based on false perception. So our program is to get people talking to each other again. And Bill Dougherty, who Matt mentioned just a moment ago, is a family and marital therapist. So a lot of our work is to get people talking again, just as a family and marital therapist gets a fractured family talking again. And when that happens, we find that people have this great ability to connect. And there's also this surprise element, because we operate so much on a basis of stereotyping. When people actually meet people on the other side, they're surprised that they like those people. And they're surprised that there's a range of opinion. And they're surprised that there's common ground. So that's what we're trying to do. And that's basically our program.
Yeah, we do live in these bubbles. Well, that's a good segue, Matt. And so take us through the anatomy of a Braver Angels workshop. I understand it does start with these stereotypes.
Right. And so Chuck's actually had a lot more experience running those, but I have gone through them myself. And it starts with, it's not even discussion across the aisle, it's within. We have something called a fishbowl activity, where you will start out with all the what we call the reds, but the conservative Republican-leaning individuals, and they will list, and they will only talk about their own side. They won't talk about the blues, and they will talk about why they believe in their political philosophy of a conservative philosophy, but then they will actually look at the stereotypes of their own side and what are some issues what are our own concerns of our own party? And then what do the other side think about us? And we have to take a really hard look at ourselves. And this is a big part of it. And so that's and then those sides flip. And so then the blues would come into the middle. And then the Republicans would sit outside and just listen. And then the blues, the Democrats, would have that same conversation. And so, as Chuck mentioned, it helps to see that there is diversity of opinion within a political group, and it's not monolithic.
It's interesting. So just to be clear, these conversations are happening in front of the people who are on the other side, so to speak.
Correct.
Yeah, interesting. Chuck, I don't know if you want to add to that. I mean, what is the outcome of that initial discussion? What happens?
Almost what always happens, it doesn't happen every time. I've done 6 of the Red-Blue workshops, and 5 of them were really successful, in that people connect, and sometimes they connect and form an alliance, which is what we have a couple of in Illinois, and we're going to have a lot more. We're beginning to form one in Chicago, and we'd like to form one in every city in the state, and that's groups of conservatives and liberals and people across the political spectrum who meet usually on a monthly basis, both as a discussion group, but also to kind of further the mission of Braver Angels of depolarizing our politics. And we exist in all 50 states, but in Illinois, we would like to have it from the top of the state to the bottom of groups meeting. And really what we're trying to do is look at this destructive force as being a problem to be solved, instead of sort of a condition to be, you know, lived with, that's just the way it is. And also to get people to accept responsibility as Americans for solving the problem. Because right now the temptation is that, yeah, there is a problem. It's a problem of the other side. And that means there's nothing I can do to fix it. And it is not my responsibility to fix it. And we're saying it is. And that the only way to fix it is by fixing it together. You know, the left can't solve it for the right can't solve it for the left. We need to do things that bring us together again to have that effect.
Briefly, and we need to take a break in about a minute here, but you said you had 5 that were successful, 1 that wasn't. I'm curious, what was it about the one that wasn't as successful as the others?
It was a small group, and there was one gentleman who was a blue member, who could not say a word without attacking the other side. And the exercises are mainly to talk about your own side, and they are moderated by somebody, in this case me, and another moderator. And there are rules, and he agreed to rules, and he agreed to, you know, be corrected by the moderators, but he couldn't stop himself. And that was one of my first, and I wasn't strong enough. You know, there is a sort of a growth of, you know, the ability to facilitate. And in this case, I needed to be a referee and just shut things down. So that's what it was, is that the other side, I think, stopped listening. They saw that the rules were not being enforced, and they stopped listening, began thinking of ways to needle him back and to needle the blue side back. And then it wasn't good. It was ugly.
Yeah. Well, you can imagine a marriage counselor has had the same problem many times, I'm sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. We need to take a break. We're going to continue our conversation with Chuck Stone and Matt Hausman, who are the state co-coordinators of Illinois Braver Angels, this organization that works to try and bridge the blue and red divide in American politics. 800-222-9455. How have you seen this divide play out in your own life? Let us know. 800-222-9455. Stay with us. More to come. It's the 21st show. I'm Brian Mackey. We are talking about the organization Braver Angels. It started out as Better Angels after Abraham Lincoln's Better Angels of Our Nature. And it works to bridge the divide between blue America and red America. We have these stereotypes of people on the other side, and it has led to this incredible polarization in American life that we've seen in the past decades. Culminating in some of the strife we've had in this country. We're talking with the Illinois coordinators of Braver Angels, Matt Hausman and Chuck Stone. 800-222-9455 if you want to join our conversation. That's 800-222-9455. So, Matt, I imagine it's going to... I don't know that this problem is solvable one small group of people at a time, right? So how do you keep the dialogue going beyond the workshops? How do you talk more about the work that happens after people begin to see the humanity in each other, right?
So that is one of the reasons I really wanted to join. And when Chuck reached out to me about becoming state co-coordinator, I really wanted to make sure we're moving it beyond just small groups of people. And so not to dismiss that, because that is the building block. The building block is these relationships across the aisle. But then we have to make sure we're moving that forward. And so, as I said, we have a local alliance here in Champaign County, and we're really trying to get out in the community and do stuff. We actually had a community roundtable last month. And what we did is we brought in a lot of non-political community leaders. And it was left and right leaning. So we had representatives from the Champaign County Farm Bureau, NAACP, Fraternal Order of Police, Immigrant Services, Regional Office of Education. We had about a dozen or so that right and left, and some completely nonpartisan, that are leaders in the community, but they're not necessarily elected leaders. But how they are dealing with, or how they are affected by polarization, and then how they can help to deal with it. Because they are frustrated. They, especially some of the more nonpartisan donors, made a comment about that they have to be careful, because if they're too connected to one party or one issue, they might lose some donors. And so it's a balancing act for everyone. Somebody else made a comment how they feel like, from the media, said they feel like they're a punching bag. And if they try to play both sides, they end up just making everyone mad. And so it's definitely a difficult conversation, but it was a worthwhile conversation to learn how these different organizations can possibly use their leadership and roles in the community to help bridge the gap and work with elected leaders from both sides. So this was just the first meeting we had in October. We're leaning towards a big public town hall coming up in February here in Champaign in partnership with the University of Illinois. And we're hoping to build on that to try to actually have kind of a grassroots effort and influence policymakers, not just average citizens who are the core of it, but to make sure we're moving forward.
I want to read an email we got from Jim in Champaign. He said, I concede that it is toughest of all to separate the person from the problem, in particular when it comes to those who are creating the problem. Nevertheless, I strive to confine my criticism to the action without calling out anybody else in the process. As I see it, insofar as any changes may be in order, those responsibilities reside uniquely with each individual in play, entirely on their own terms, very much in line with their own development and growth as human beings. Chuck, I don't know if you want to respond to that about just the approach of, you know, Jim said that he tries to focus on the action, not the person. What does Braver Angels recommend in how it encourages people to talk in these workshops?
Well, there's one workshop, the Depolarizing Within, that kind of addresses it directly, talk about the motivations of people on the other side, to sort of not imagine evil motivations every time, to criticize policy based on, you know, the merits of the policy and stick to that. I think that's a part of it. I don't know how else to respond to Jim's thing, but, you know, we have some bad habits that we've developed as a nation, I think, that have become like reflexes. And dismissing people and ideas, not based on, like Jim said, the idea, was talking about the idea itself, but based on who submitted it. And it's crept into our language, the dismissal, the, you know, mansplaining, okay, boomer, talk to the hand, shut up, Karen. You know, all of those are sort of evidences of a way of looking at the world of dismissing people, even though, you know, a lot of them have, there's a reason, you know, behind them, and a valid reason behind them. But, you know, dismissing tens of millions of people based on their vote, which is a binary choice, is not good. So we need to focus on the merits of questions and not on the personalities or the perceived motivations behind the proposal.
Yeah, no, I think if you ask people why they voted a certain way or why they think a certain thing they do, many people would be surprised at the common ground you'll find about the concerns that most people have. Let's go to the phones. Bob is calling from Breeze on line 4. Bob, thanks for calling in.
Hey, thank you. It's a very interesting show. While I was waiting, talking to your girl there, I may have missed something. But my question for these guys is, down here in an extremely red county, we had 5 people that I'm aware of that made it out to the Washington, D.C. on January the 6th. I don't know their complete involvement, but that's kind of how the county stands. And when you run into people that are that committed to an idea or something, how do you even get them to come to a meeting to a session? What tactics do you use to get them there?
That's an interesting question, Bob. Thank you for that. And Matt, maybe I'll ask you, because we were wondering about, you know, I mean, there are people out there who seem to maybe not be coming from a place of good faith, or, you know, maybe if somebody's you know, in the LGBT community, why would they want to talk to somebody who denies them their, you know, right to exist in the world? I mean, how do you break down these? I mean, is this for the hardcore believers on either side, or how do you handle that?
So it's difficult, and it is something that you have to be committed to the purpose. As Chuck mentioned before the break, about the one time he had kind of a rough experience was basically when you had somebody like that, as you called it, maybe a true believer in their own self-righteousness, that it can really ruin the experience and the effort. So part of it is a little bit selective, and that's why we need strong moderators and everything to try to help maintain the rules, because it's one of those bad things. It takes 2 people to keep a peace, unfortunately. That if one person is committed to not making that commitment to respect and civility, it's not going to go anywhere. So part of that is it's a little bit of self-selection that the people that are going to go there, they have to have some minimum level of buy-in that they're going to have a respectful conversation.
So it's not a brainwashing session, right?
No.
Or this is not a conversion therapy or anything
Yeah. And I'm glad you brought that up, because that's one of the key things when we have these discussions, is that we have debates, and the number one rule is we are not trying to change anyone's mind. If you are a very strong Trump supporter, we're not going to sit there and try to convince you about Trump. Or if you're someone who is very much, if you have borderline Marxist economic philosophies, we're not going to try to change your viewpoint. All we are trying to do is make it that you respect the other viewpoint, and that it is a person, not a monster, not somebody who's trying to destroy America. That has a different viewpoint. So that is the key aspect of Braver Angels. We're not trying to win arguments. We're not trying to change minds. We are simply trying to elevate the level of civility and respect.
Well, Matt, that gets at one of my very favorite questions to ask people, especially those in public office, but people who've run for office or anything like that. What is the purpose of politics? Right? What's it for?
Wow, that's a... Didn't know we were going to get that philosophical, but
well, I mean, this is what it's about, and yeah. Maybe I can forward the conversation. But my view is, it's the way at its base level. This is how we live together without going to war over our ideas,
right? And that's one of the basic ideas. And in my mind, that's a typical. If you're getting into the conservative versus liberal, my viewpoint of the basic needs of government, where I think if you ask a conservative. I would think that a conservative would say the basic level of politics and government is to protect rights and maintain order, whereas maybe a liberal might have it more where they think the role of politics and government is to improve society for the good of everyone, for the common good. And that kind of is the general push and pull, I think, of our political discourse. And I think I think both sides should agree that those are both valid viewpoints, and everything else just kind of falls out of that. And again, that is part of the issue of the drive of Braver Angels, to make sure we maintain that respect, that we just have we all want what's best for everyone. We just have different ideas about the priorities in order to make that happen.
Chuck, I wonder if you want to take a stab at my question. What is politics? What's it for?
Well, maybe I'll take an indirect stab at it. And that's it. I would add one thing to what Matt was saying about persuasion. You have zero chance of persuading somebody, first of all, if you don't talk to them. And you still have zero chance if you talk to them and you try to cram your position down their throats. So what we teach in terms of skills is not just the listening skill, but also how to speak so that your position is least likely to raise defenses on the other side. So this is about talking. It is about deliberation between people, and it's trying to get people to be open when they hear something, good, something strong in what the other person has said, that you adopt it instead of saying that's foreign, it'd be disloyal and so forth. So I think that living together, as you said, Brian, is very much a part of what politics is about. It's trying to reach solutions to mutual problems and trying to do it in a way that is accepted as legitimate, and also understanding that you're not always going to get, your way, and that a part of being a part of this union is accepting. If you lost, then go out and try to persuade people, change the vote. That's what the demonization and polarization and taking steps based on this hyperpartisan, we are the only ones with a stranglehold on the truth, and it's our duty to defeat the other side. That's where it destroys democracy, our politics destroys democracy. And I think it also has an effect on our culture generally, that the dismissal and stereotyping and so forth makes us less likely to form friendships, makes friendships more fragile, And the same with family relationships, that it kind of bleeds into everything.
I want to commend listeners to listen back to our conversation from last week with Anand Giridharadas about his book, The Persuaders, which tackles some of these similar questions about dialogue and actually engaging with people. In the time we have remaining, and it's only about 3 minutes, I want to talk practical tips, right, Matt? People are going to be going into family meals in the coming week. What advice do you have? There's a lot in the news to chew over in addition to the turkey and stuffing.
Yeah, so definitely it's going to be difficult. And one of the key things is, a couple of keys is that be respectful. Realize that you're not going to change your uncle or aunt's mind about something. If it's not going to be a civil conversation, just defuse and change the subject. Shameless plug here, Brave Our Angels does host a family and politics workshop, especially as we're coming past the elections and into the holidays. And so you can go to braverangels.org, and we have a bunch of them. A lot of them are online, hosted by different states. Illinois' version is going to be on December 14th, and Chuck's going to be helping moderate that. That is also going to be online. But if you need it before Thanksgiving, there's some other workshops going on hosted by other states, and there's an e-learning course. You can have materials to read to help in advance do a little bit of homework before you have to have those awkward conversations over the dinner table.
Yeah, I like what you said about diffusing, right? Or just letting some balls go over the plate, I guess, is another way of putting that. You don't have to swing at every pitch. Chuck, if someone's listening to this program, wants to get involved with Braver Angels, what can they do?
They should go on our website, www.braverangels.org. They can contact Matt or contact me, and we would love to have you. And we have a million different ways of getting involved. And, you know, we're an all-volunteer pretty much organization. There's only a few paid positions nationally, and we move forward when people come in and get active. And what we've done really is we've set up a vehicle for people who don't like this direction of political hatred to get involved and to bring it to their community. So go on the website.
And we had a call. We don't have time to go on air because we've only got about 30 seconds left here. But from Maria wondering, I mean, it's all men speaking on our program today. This is open to women. I mean, our issues, you know, abortion, things like that discussed. It's a.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we had a wonderful debate on abortion, and about 3 minutes into the debate, every woman on that, it was on Zoom, was paying rapt attention to the life experiences of people on the other side and how that affected their viewpoint. And there is so much potential for common ground on that issue. I think Braver Angels is one of the only ones talking about it. So I was very proud of that. And yeah, we yes.
All right.
Well, Matt and I are men.
Fair enough. We're going to have to leave it there. I want to thank Matt Hausman and Chuck Stone from Braver Angels. Thanks to everyone who called in and emailed and sent text messages about this conversation. I hope you will keep the dialogue going. Matt and Chuck, thanks so much for being with us and sharing the work of Braver Angels today on the 21st Show.
Thanks so much, Brian.
Thank you, Brian.
More to come after a short break. We're going to be talking about mountain lions. There have been a couple of sightings in Illinois, even though the animal was largely thought to have been eliminated here in the late 1800s. We're going to talk about the science behind the headlines. That's in just a moment. Stay with us.